I'm not sure where the service is going to go this morning. That's not unusual. It's becoming commonplace. But when we began this walk into the new season, we felt as though the Lord had said that we needed to really establish hope in each one of our lives, probably more in my life than yours, or maybe equal to yours, but I've been the greatest benefactor of what he's been saying. So, two things that we've learned for sure, in sort of summarizing, what has been is not what shall be. That's his definition of hope. The other one is, if hope cannot see, faith cannot bring. That's two of possibly 10 commandments in regards to reestablishing your hope. They will never change. They will be with you every step you take into the promised land. He will tell you today, what has been is not what shall be tomorrow. And if hope cannot see, faith cannot bring. It's a law. It's not a law like thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. But it is the same law within hope and within you, with you possessing your promised land. If this is your first service that this has been shared, and especially if it's the first service via media that you're listening to, I would highly recommend that you go back to the three previous services and hear what he had to say. That would be a beginning. Gary Carpenter has brought messages along the same line, same Holy Spirit, same mind of Christ. Alan has. Those of you that are familiar with the website and the media, you know that they're out there. Please go find them. Not that this service here is not going to be complete in itself, but to see the whole picture, like putting a puzzle together, I would go get each one of those and let your life walk through those messages and use the handouts, keep your own notes, etc. What I believe the Lord would have us do today, here's what he gave me. What I believe the Lord would have us do today is take our individual words, those that he's given you, which is his hope, his mind, his will, his dreams, and his longings for you personally, that he has given each one of you, and put them inside the message of fellowship, and use all the tools that he has given us to conquer and dwell in our individual promised land, which is his will for your life. Do I need to repeat that? It's the blueprint. It's the plan. In complete detail for your life personally. To back that up, if you would, I'll read it. 1 Timothy 1:18 and 19. Paul talking to his son Timothy. And when Paul said this to Timothy, Paul had no idea that he was writing the Word of God. He didn't know how the Lord was going to use this letter for all of eternity in regards to the existence of this world. He was writing a letter. The Holy Spirit was speaking through him and to him, and he was writing a son. When Timothy got it, he didn't know that it was God Almighty speaking and delivering his will to Timothy's mind. He took it as a friend that wrote him. Every one of your words, and hear me good, every one of your words that someone has given you is just as powerful and just as real and will last all of eternity. Think about it. God Almighty chose a vessel that he could speak through and give you his heart and his love for you personally. 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them might war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. At the beginning of this season, the Lord said we were going to go into warfare, and that that warfare was going to be offensive. He did not call it defensive. You've got your life in your hands. You got the ball in your hands. And he expects us to war a good warfare, of offensive warfare, and take the promised land. We're not on defense. We're not trying to steal or win or take something from the enemy. We're on offense and we're winning. We're winning. The word that came forth from Alan or through Alan, you know the background. You know that he was gone. We went through that in one of the previous services. Bring to your mind that he brought forth five individual words. It was amazing, just amazing. I believe I handed them out, and I believe that you have them as part of your document. But I'm going to read one again because it brings again to light what Paul told Timothy. My words are truth from your father. I'm not a man that I can lie. You know the words that I have given to you. The ones that you know are from me. Filter through the papers of prophecies and words, and you know which ones are in your heart that I have spoken to you. Do you think that I can lie? I cannot lie. The voice of your soul that the enemy has an opportunity to speak to, continually calls your father a liar. Because because he has no truth in him. And he knows the power of the word, that it is the power that will destroy him completely. If we use it, if we speak it, well, if we understand it, if we receive it, and if we keep it. And he comes immediately, immediately, in a moment's time, to try to destroy what the Lord has given you. Because he knows it is his defeat if we live in the hope and develop the hope that substance, or that faith has ability to put substance to and destroy him. It is always forever living. It will never die. It has no darkness in it. It is brighter than light for you personally. So don't believe what's around you. And don't believe the lies of the enemy. He is the father of lies. My truth, my word that I've spoken to you, the personal words that you hold on to, they are truth. They are truth from your Father. Hold on to them. Hold on tightly to them. Because this is where you will be if you will follow me. Don't slow down. There is no other way. Just my way. That's it. That's it. There is not a plan B. There is not an alternate route. One way. And that's his way. And that's his word. So when you feel and are overwhelmed with wonder and defeat or failure of thoughts of failure, just may remember what I have spoken to you. Remember these times of intimate words that my heart has spoken to your heart. The prophecies that have been spoken to you in the past that were personal to you, they are not just words on paper. They are my word. They are my truth. Hebrews 4:12, if those of you that are turning to it, or for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word that the Lord has given you has an attribute of power, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In the Amplified, it reads, "For the word of God speaks, is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal, the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow of the deepest parts of your nature, exposing and shifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of your heart." Some time back, the Lord gave a prophecy that I call a body prophecy. There are prophecies that are personal, one-on-one. And then there are body prophecies where he's speaking to to the entire body of Christ, to the entire family. Once again, the time has come for those who will esteem my word more than they do their necessary food. They will no longer take my words lightly as entertainment, almost, and something of small value. For I have not had you here all this time to separate myself from you now. With my own arm, I've gathered you into myself, and I am rekindling an appetite in you, an appetite not only for my written word, but for the words that I speak to you, that they become your very life, more precious than gold, more needful than your necessary food. Eat my word until it becomes a part of you, bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, where it brings life to you like the marrow does the blood. With the measure that you give my word, that is exactly the same measure that you will see the results of my word, says the Lord. The message that we have titled, labeled, that comes forth from the prayer center is the message of fellowship. And the message of fellowship that we've been taught or are being taught, we've identified seven foundational actions. You could call them cornerstone. You could call them the first foundation. You could call them the stones that will hold up all of your life. We've identified seven. Are there eight? I hope so. Are there nine? I hope so. But for now, I'll begin to be content, I guess, with the seven. I'll read you the seven. Some of you know them by heart. The first one is meditation of the word. The second one is praise and worship. The third one is praying in tongues. The fourth one is confession of his word. The fifth one is fasting. The sixth one is waiting on God. And the seventh one is co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read them quickly again. Meditation of the word, praise and worship, praying in tongues, confession of his word, fasting, waiting on God, co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. Now I have two trick questions to ask you. Ready for the first one? Which one of the seven is the most important? You don't have to answer. You'll be wrong. That's why it's a trick. Which one of the seven is the most important? And then the second question is like unto the first. Which one of the seven is of least importance? You have the seven down, and you rank them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and you've ranked your first one, and you've ranked the least one. You want the answer? The one that is most important to you is the one that the Holy Spirit wants to have fellowship with you right now. He is the only teacher. He only brings the mind of Christ to you. He's the only one that can do that. And he's the only one that can bring the Father's will to you. There's no substitute. So when you wake up in the morning, it would be advisable or good. Try it. Holy Spirit, how do you want to have fellowship with me today? All seven is one-on-one. All seven is private. Now the fruits of co-laboring is manifested. But it's you and your teacher. And he knows the classroom that he would like you to sit in. Today, it may be spelling and English. And he doesn't want you doing math homework when you're in the classroom of English. And he knows what you need. No one else does. You don't. No one else does. And he knows that you need to begin this morning to begin to praise and worship him. He changes the ranking based on you individually. He knows if he wants to use you for intercession. He knows if your heart is ready for a brand new mystery to explode inside of you. He knows if your flesh is to the point that you need to do without a meal. Or he may choose to say, from this point forward, I would like you not to eat this type of food. He won't tell everybody that. He'll tell you that. So he chooses the ranking. If you choose to not do one of them, think about it. We'd be like having one flat tire on a vehicle that had four tires. The nice thing about it is he will start where you are, not where somebody else is or already has been. And he loves you. How can he loves you at every single point of your growth? For those of you that have children, your love for that child has not increased. It has only changed. When they were the smallest of the smallest, and you could adore them, and you could hold them, etc. And when they're 50, you can still look at them with that same absolute, complete, pure love. Where did that come from? Only from the Lord. It never, ever changes because he doesn't. He's given you that love. I mean, you know this. Let's begin with the foundational actions, and I'm going to give you a few things that you can consider as to how to bring hope to a full level. Let's go to meditation of the Word. I would recommend that when you receive a word, that you look up every scripture, as many as possible, for additional witnesses that what you heard and what you received is the truth. by two or three witnesses, every word would be established. The Holy Spirit will give you many more than two or three. But He enjoys, as your teacher, to help you with your homework. You are co-laboring with Him in everything, especially your growth. I mean, I would look up scriptures. It would be good when the enemy comes to say, not only did my father say this, but I want to read this one to you, and I want to read this one to you, and I want to read this one to you. And he'll be gone, because he cannot stand the word. It's too bright for him. There's too much life in it. I heard of an incident where a man was going to the hospital and his daughter was in an accident. And he was some miles away. And he began to pray in the Holy Spirit, because he didn't know how to pray. And he knew that the Holy Spirit would pray the perfect prayer. And he had an open vision driving down the highway. And there was a demon sitting here. And there was a demon sitting here. And he kept praying in the Holy Spirit. And the one demon shot a thought and a word. He said, through his brain, or through this ear, out the other ear to this demon, and said, "What is he doing? What is he doing?" And the other demon answered and said, "I don't know what he's doing, but is it burning you like it's burning me? Let's get out of here." The next thing that I would consider doing is merge all like-minded words that you've received together and create a more complete vision. If you take all the words that you've received, one thing about the Holy Spirit, number one, He never becomes boring. Number two, He has more long suffering than you can try to see if you can make Him no longer long suffering. He never runs out of patience. And He enjoys saying it a different way again and again and again. You don't embarrass Him. You can grieve Him, but you can't embarrass Him. He's thrilled when you take your words and merge them together. He's thrilled that you're creating a vision so that you can create hope. And He's longing for the moment that He can bring it into existence. We've been taught by Pastor, those of you that have been here, do you remember him when he's teaching on meditation, image, and delivery? Did he get down here and he pretend that he had a brush in his hand and he would go every stroke of the brush, paints a picture, every stroke of the brush. That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing, is creating that picture. If hope cannot see, faith cannot bring. The other area would be, I need to prelude this by saying this. There's not a man, or there's not a work, that are going on within the entire world that is fulfilling God's call and trying to bring forth the will of the Father to earth that I do not love and that I do not respect and that I do not enjoy the truth that's coming forth from them. The spirit of man fellowships with the spirit of man. And there are some wonderful, more than some, great deal of people that when I hear about their ministry or read something or someone is telling me something, that I don't become excited, that I don't become thrilled, that I don't enjoy, that I don't say amen, that I don't say, Father, bless them, bless them. To me, there's no ranking. Everyone that's doing the Father's will is my brother. And I'll help them in any way I possibly can. But that's the wrong word. Anyway, I would encourage you to put the highest priority at this moment in your life in the words that are coming forth from the prayer center to this body. I would not ignore one of them. I would be sure that you receive them. That's why they're out on the internet. That's why we do all that we do to send them out as quickly as possible. Because he's called you and brought you here. As the word said, that I've not brought you here to leave you now. And that you take those words, do the same thing that you did with your personal words. You look up scripture. You know that the Holy Spirit is agreeing with you that that's right. And incidentally, it doesn't matter whose voice he used. If you notice when you receive the words from the prayer center, there's not a name attached. Never will be. Is that because we want to ignore the gift or ignore the individual Lord's use? No. It's more for the benefit of those people that rank the validity of the word from the voice that spoke it, instead of having their spirit tell them, that's truth. And even if I had to use a donkey to bring it, it is truth. Now, we don't have any donkeys. Okay. You would probably read, or we'd probably all receive a word from the Lord quicker if we go outside and our car begins to talk to us. You know. But I would encourage you to take the words. Because there are instructions in each word. Not only is there hope in each word, but it's most likely that there are instructions in those words for you to possess your part of the promised land. And it, in most all cases, it will be a witness to what he has told you. Now, in some instances, it's ahead of you, but it gives you something to look for. Oh, you really mean that? If you just took the words that's come forth the last week, last 2 weeks. Okay? They're actually family words. Next area is praise and worship. I'd like to give you Ephesians 5:19 for your notes. It says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amplified says, speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voice and making melody with all your heart to the Lord. I would once again recommend that you take your words and turn them in to your own spiritual songs and your own hymns. And if you're like me, that is very private, and you wouldn't want to hear me sing. But I want you to know He wants me to. And I want you to know He loves it. Because He enters in with it, and so do the angels. And you get the greatest benefit from it. Because it ministers to your soul. And it tells your soul, be still. And listen to what my spirit is singing. Because I'm worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. And my soul, forgive me to say it this way, but it has to shut up and become still and listen to my spirit singing what the Lord is saying about me. They will do a great deal of restoring your soul more than any other songs. Let's go on to the next one, praying in tongues. I would ask the Holy Spirit to pray through you and give you the mind of Christ and unlock the mysteries that is with and that is in your personal words. That He would give you the ability to understand, receive, and keep. He is quite willing to do that. We've all been in schools, and I don't know a teacher that if a student raises his hand and says, will you please explain this to me? That they won't stop everything that they're doing if they know you're sincere, and they will give you the answer and they will re-explain it and they will go over it again, or they'll say, why don't we meet after class and let me explain more to you? Where did that wisdom come from? Except from your Father. And the Holy Spirit enjoys saying, let me explain this to you. I said this about you. And I want you to know a little bit more today, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And He will give you the answer in English. And He will give you the answer in your heart. And it'll come into your mind. And you'll say, wow. The references for that one is Matthew 13:23, Mark 4:20, and Luke 8:15. That's the sower sows the word. You have to understand it before you can receive it. I know you have begun doing that, and if I ask for a show of hands, how many of you now have read your words and all of a sudden you now understand something that you didn't understand before? You see it clearer. The scales have been removed. Your ears have been cleaned out and you've heard it and you now understand it. And now you've received it deeper. It's receiving it in your heart. The sowing of the seed is to the heart, right? It's not to the brain. It's not to your, it's in your heart. It's in your born again heart. And then Luke 8:15. Moving right along, confession of the word. I would take all that you've done in the meditation. I would take all that you've done in the praise and worship. And I would create confessions. Confession is too small of a word, but I don't have a better one. Confession to me is saying out loud what God has already said over and over and over again. Remember 4 hours of mindless confession, or 4 hours of developing godly hope, is more valuable than 4 years of mindless confession. Confession brings your heart, your mind, everything to one point. And that's what you're saying is what God said. Okay? The other thing I would do in line of confession is I would take my confessions and I would record them. I would take the confessions, I would take the praise and worship, and I would record them on some form of media, and I would play them over and over and over again. They're more valuable to you than listening to Alexander Scorby reading the New Testament, though that has great value, don't get me wrong. But when the Holy Spirit has become your concordance, and He has laid out for you personally what He would like you to know and learn and live and be, He's more interested, much, much more interested in what you're becoming than what you can do for Him. He wants fellowship. That's what we were all created for. We weren't created to do works unless we co-labor with Him. But He created us for fellowship. If the Father came down and visited Adam every single day and said, "Son, what'd you do today?" "Well, see that animal over there? I named him a giraffe." "You did? Why did you choose a giraffe? Why did you choose that name?" That's fellowship. That's what we were created for. I would record them. I would not have someone record them for me. Try it. Just try it. Just try it. Please, just try it. To hear your own voice saying what God said. Have a handkerchief or Kleenex close by. Because once again, it restores your soul. And you'll have to stop it. You'll have to stop it and begin to praise Him for everything He has said about you personally. Fasting. I'm speaking of fasting at this moment, what I call a word fast. Now, I'm certain that you understand fasting, the physical side. But if you choose to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and He approves it, which He will, "Lord, all I'm going to do for the next 7 days," let's pick a shorter time, All I'm going to do for the next 3 days is I'm going to just read what you have spoken about me. I'm not going to listen to any praise and worship. I'm not going to watch television. Whatever is taking your time right now, when the Lord allows us to teach on redeeming at the time, we'll go into more of that. But right now, if you just choose to say, Lord, I'm going to fast. Use that word. I'm going to fast on just what you have said about me for the next 3 days. At the end of those 3 days, be sure you have your journal ready to write down whatever you want to write down all the way through. But that's the type of fast. The next one is co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. It has to do with fellowship. You become his helper. He's already your helper. But now you become his helper. We went through that before, you know. The mistakes that I made, that I thought he would help me to do anything that I wanted to do. So I went out and began to do in my own will things for the Lord. Probably one of the biggest mistakes I've ever made. But according to my record in heaven, I've never failed God because of the blood, so I won't go back there. But when you take the position that, Holy Spirit, today I'm your helper, how do you want me to serve you? Because I know you're my helper. What a union. Now, I am going to go over, so you'll just have to forgive me ahead of time. This was not premeditated. But the most important one for this season, this is in my opinion, and I believe I have the permission of the Lord, is the one that is waiting on God. There is many, many, many more heirs and destruction caused by the body of Christ because we choose not to wait on the Lord. I'll give you these scriptures to look up. Psalms 25, 3 through 5. Psalms 37, 7 through 9. Psalms 40, 1 through 3. Psalms 46, 10. Isaiah 40, 31. We've addressed before, don't take scripture out of context. Go look at those scriptures, look at the scriptures around them. The Lord has a multitude to say about waiting on Him. Waiting on Him is not praying in tongues. Waiting on Him is not confession. Waiting on Him is not praise and worship. Waiting on Him is becoming still. And listen. Don't interrupt the flow of the Father towards to you. It's to become still. The verse that I want to quote is Isaiah 30:18. And therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious to you. And therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. In the Amplified, and therefore the Lord earnestly waits, expecting looking and longing to be gracious to you. And therefore he lifts himself up that he may have mercy on you and show loving kindness to you. For the Lord is a God of justice, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are all those who earnestly wait for him, who expect and look and long for him, for his victory, his favor, his love, his peace, his joy, and his matchless, unbroken companionship. Many of you that is listening, many of you, he is waiting for us. If he's waiting upon us, then we can wait upon him. He's not waiting on you because you're late. He's waiting on you to give you all that is necessary so that he can use you to your fullest. You're not late. If he's able to wait on us, then we need to give our time to wait upon him. The message of love that's been coming forth, I said this before. He loves you unconditionally right where you are right now. How can it get any better? He doesn't need you to go do something for him to love you more. He certainly wants to use you. And he certainly wants you to go with him. But his love is not going to change because that's what he is. I'll put what I'm going to read now, and then we'll close. Well, I don't know that we'll close. One of Gary Carpenter's, for the media's sake, one of Gary Carpenter's face-to-face is called Waiting on God, Waiting Upon God. You can find it at Gary Carpenter's website. You'll now be able to find it at Dave's website. I'm going to read with, hopefully, without much comment. The art of waiting on God has been lost to this generation. Without knowing how to wait upon God, the life of Christ within every believer becomes the servant of the carnal mind within each believer. This is not the Father's will. This is not the Father's plan. To wait upon God is to spend time in my presence, the Holy Spirit, as I bring you his mind. Your responsibility is to submit your will to his mind as I unfold the will of the Father unto you, which is within all the words that he's given you. As you yield your life unto the life of Christ and his mind is revealed to you, you then step into the path of dominion, not into the path of failure, not in the path of being late. You step in to the path of dominion. Offensive warfare. This is the path of anointing. This is the path of great blessing, says the Spirit of grace. To wait upon the Lord is to sit in my presence and hear the mind of the Lord until you have received his counsel in completeness. At that point, you yield your will unto His mind. You go where I say go. You say what I tell you to say. You do what I say to do. You act as I say to act. As you conform to the mind of Him who called you, then I perform the Father's good pleasure as you walk in the steps of the mind of Christ. Think you that it's the Father's will for His children to be guessing, wondering, assuming what is the mind of Christ for them each day? Think you that the Father has left them as orphans to find their own way through a world of darkness? No. He has not left you orphans. For this purpose I have been sent, to bring you the light of the counsel of the mind of Christ. There is no room for guessing. There is no reason for wondering. There is no justification for assuming His will and His mind. Did you hear the word no? There is no reason. Do not let anybody lukewarm this to say, I think you should do this, or I think you should go there. And after all, if you make a mistake, you will be forgiven and you can try again. That is lukewarm warfare. You don't ever, ever, ever fight the enemy in His timing. You fight the enemy in God's timing, and you always win. You don't go pick a fight, or you don't think that you need to do this and that to please Him. You wait, and you will have no failure. Jesus, for 30 years, did nothing. Nothing. Walked by every crippled, every blind, and could not do nothing, and would not do nothing. And He had a will of His own. But for 30 years, He waited. And He never lost. Never, ever did He lose. Never, ever did He fail. And you are joint heirs with Him. And you have the same right. Don't let anybody, as you walk into your promised land, push you to try to take a city that God has not told you to take. Wait. I am the helper whom the Father has sent to relieve you from all those things, says the Spirit of Truth. I bring the mind of Christ in great detail for those who are willing to sit and wait upon God until they receive my counsel. The specific will of the mind of Christ in every situation. Not a few, not the top 10, but in every single situation. From the Father's precept, He sees the life of Christ within believers being directed by the will of man. By the mind of man and not by the mind of Christ. This was never His will. This was never His plan. What causes such an aberration as this? Not knowing the Comforter, who has come to be the guide, who has come to bring the counsel and to bring the mind of Christ to believers, not having intimate fellowship and communion with me, myself, the message of fellowship. The Father is pleased that you will humble yourself to sit and hear the voice of His Spirit as I bring you the mind of Christ for your life. Write this one down. It is better to do only one thing each day according to His mind than 1,000 things each day according to your own. Learn to wait upon God. I'll not fail you. I will not leave you in the dark. I will bring you the light of His counsel, and you will walk as a man who walks in the light of day, where there is no occasion of stumbling. No occasion, says the Spirit of grace. If, write this, if the greatest heart cry of the exalted Son of Man could be heard upon earth today, it would be this. If you could hear His voice today, you would hear Him saying this: oh, that my brethren would sit, listen, and hearken to the counsel of my Father's Spirit as He brings my mind to them. For His mind is the will of the Father. His mind is made fully known unto the Spirit of truth. The Comforter will take of His and show all things unto His brethren, if they will sit, listen, and hearken, as the Spirit brings the voice of Him who speaks from heaven to the earth. In closing, I will read this word from the Lord to the body. Neglect not my Spirit. Neglect not my Spirit. Even as these truths are coming forward, know and understand that these things are not mentally discerned. Although these lessons can prepare the way somewhat, like John the Baptist prepared the way, know this. Your transformation to walk these messages will come by your fellowship with my Spirit and no other way. Yes, these messages can prepare the way, like the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Just as hearing John's words didn't cause the transformation, only by an encounter with the Lord Himself was the transformation accomplished. So it is with you. Yes, hear these messages, hear them, meditate on them, read my word, meditate my word. But know the transformation comes by my Spirit. Neglect not my Spirit and the foundations that have been laid in this place, says the Lord. See you in 20 minutes. There is a handout. This is not homework, but you can take it home and enjoy it. It's titled Selected Rhema Words of Fellowship. It's an incomplete document that is, I believe, 8 pages long. That'll give you something to read over lunch and see the value that the Lord has spoken over the years in regards to fellowship with Him. Blessings.